deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar-Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 67 of Flashpoint. I'm your host David Holloway, and with me are two co-hosts who make Cagney and Lacey look like extras in Police Academy. Simon, how you going?
After that intro, I'm slightly depressed. How are you?
Good. It's a bit of a retro reference too. Some people mightn't get it, but anyway. We got lots to get through tonight, so looking forward to toing and froing with you. Christy, how are you going?
Oh, I guess I'd better put down the 3DS and stop playing Pokemon for a little bit, maybe, kind of.
I will give you some Pokemon, like something to chew on later. We've got something to talk about, not Pokemon, but Hearthstone, which is sort of like Pokemon. And I'm also pretty excited because we have a special co-host, and we're just talking before we started recording that it's been more episodes than I realised, and that's the brilliant Jason Etheridge, a.k.a. Tio, from Utinicast. How are you, sir?
Great. G'day, all.
Brilliant to have you here, and as Simon said before we started recording, it lends some much-needed credibility to the team tonight, so welcome.
Thank you. I don't know if I'd really go that far, but I'll do my best.
Look, it may not be a compliment because it's a pretty low base you're working from, but just take what you can get. So this episode, as always, we're going to cover Star Wars The Old Republic, but we've also got a decent amount on The Secret World this episode. It's been a while. We're going to talk about, as I just said, Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft, and a bit of BlizzCon, but just a few minutes. A bit more Guild Wars 2, a little bit of Rift. They got something new that Christy's going to update us on. But before we jump into that, let's catch up on some Republic news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic news.
So it's not been a quiet couple of weeks either. There's been a few little bits and pieces going on in Star Wars The Old Republic. First one, and I'm going to throw this one to Simon and Jason, starting with you, Simon. Names to be released back into the pool.
Yep. BioWare is doing something that arguably they should have done quite a while ago, but whatever. They're getting around to it eventually. They're going to be going through and doing a little bit of a cull. Names that have been attached to characters or accounts that have been inactive they're going to be looking at releasing them back into availability. So if there's a name that you've missed out on in the to and fro of the servers, I think we've all got at least one character who has been stuck with a second best or third best name. There's a good chance if you pay for the name change, you might be able to get that name that you want back so badly.
So when you say pay for the name change?
Well, there's no free name change announced yet. It'd be nice if they gave us threw a bone, but chances are we'll probably have to pay for a name change in cartel coins.
Yeah, oh, true. And Jason, are there any names you missed out on with all the toing and froing with servers?
No, not really, because all of my characters, I got Tio, the original Tio, right from the beginning, and I never lost that. And then all my other characters are prefaced with Tio, and oddly enough, it's not that popular, so I'm fine.
I actually am surprised by that, because I would have thought that would be one that a few people would have tried on.
No, apparently not.
I mean, Wheeze and Henry and Twonkalonk, I can understand there's not huge competition for that. But yeah, TO's a little bit more reputable. Well, that's good. So, and Simon, because I hadn't actually heard this bit of news, when they're saying that's going to be happening?
That is going to be, and I should have had that in front of me.
12 November.
There's a few things supposed to be happening 12 November. Cause that's when they pushed the rankings, the PvP ranking season one back to, isn't it?
Yeah. That's a bit of bad news.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing, is that 12th of Tuesday? Like, I'm wondering if it coincides with a server downtime.
Unfortunately, it's tears, yes.
Yeah. All right. So there you go.
So it's worth noting that if you have an inactive account and you want to hang on to your names, the easiest way is to subscribe. But if you're not willing to do that, you just need to log on to each of those characters. And it was pointed out that if you were a former subscriber and you had more than, say, 6 characters, you're now preferred, you wouldn't be able to log on to more than 6 because preferred can only have 6 active characters unless they purchase additional character slots. So if you were worried about your name, then resubbing is probably the easiest thing to. No subscriber will lose any of their names, which is another subscriber benefit, I guess.
So, Christy, knowing you, you probably had about 12, and I know you were talking about resubscribing. Are you in that boat?
No, I'm actually a subscriber at the moment.
Oh, that's right. You already haven't
but
you? Yeah.
Yeah, as someone who is always there at 3 a.m. in the morning or whenever it is that these MMOs launch, because I seem to pick the most popular name every single time. Personally, actually, I'm not too fussed, not with Star Wars. Probably different if it was another game in which I totally and utterly fell in love with my character. And, I mean, at the moment I'm playing a character called Cat Dude Bro, so I don't think I really need to worry about name problems. I'm really surprised they haven't had more backlash, though. When, in the past, when MMOs have done this, people have really chucked their dummy and stamped their feet going, you know, what the hell? I was up at launch just to get this name. You can't take it away from me. I don't care if I haven't played it for 2 years. It's my prerogative. But I haven't really heard much in the way of backlash. So BioWare must be doing something really, really good, or Star Wars The Old Republic players or ex-players are actually kind of understanding nice people, maybe?
Yeah. I haven't heard the news yet if they're sort of not following actively.
That is true, yes.
Yeah. So, good 12th of November, big day.
Which is also the start of the next bounty contract week as well. So, big day.
So, is this the second or third run of bounty contract week?
I've lost count.
This will be fourth?
Fourth,
I think.
There you go. Roughly. And I still haven't done it.
I think I did one henchman contract this past one and none the previous one. I'm not really into the whole rep thing.
No. I am in some games, but I just find it's nowhere near rewarding enough in SWTOR for me to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just nothing you want, so why bother? Yeah. Why put in the time?
Agreed. So, in Return of the Rakul, Simon.
Well, that might be wishful thinking, but wouldn't that be kind of cool if that's just sort of popped up surprisingly for Halloween? Wouldn't that be perfect?
No, go. The rumor was started by Gaddock Teague, who does the unnamed SWTOR podcast, and he was at the New York Cantina event talking to, I think it was Damien Sherbert, and there were some heavy hints dropped. You know, he may have had it confirmed that for Halloween, they are going to bring back the Rakul Plague, and that's going to be the surprise. That's as much as we know.
Was that one of the off the record things that he got out of him after a few drinks?
That was the impression that I got, and he was told he could not actually confirm that. So that's why when he did talk about it, he was sort of dancing around it.
Right.
Never underestimate the power of alcohol to loosen tongues. Just ask Gail.
I'm taking that as confirmed, and I don't want to hear any more about that story.
The Gail story?
Yeah.
No. Well, it's not just one. There's dozens, so you're right. We'll just move on. All right, well, that is good. That's it. I have no recollection. I did the Rakul Plague event last year, but have no recollection of the storyline beyond the plague, and it was just a handful of quests, wasn't it?
on Tatooine.
Yeah,
sort of guessing that they'll put it somewhere else. They won't make it an identical copy of the original, though it was kind of tied into the Sand People, so maybe they will put it on Tatooine again. Hopefully not. Do something different.
As has been said, they can't afford to burn money, so if they can reuse code, they'll reuse code, which is why we keep getting tentacle monsters.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough. I can understand that. Well, speaking of content, I mean, I've still been playing a bit of the Dread content, although I've found over the last fortnight I've tended to get a bit sick of doing the dailies and have gone back to leveling my main alt, which is about 40 and a half levels in, and been having a ball with him. But that said, I still haven't run the Operation Dread Palace, isn't it? So I still have an extra round. Jason, I'm guessing you have.
There are two. There's Dread Fortress and Dread Palace. Dread Fortress comes first sequentially in the story, but you can do them in any order. Five encounters each. We have actually cleared both on story mode, and they are really, really good. Really good. It seems that every operation that BioWare produces, they're just getting better. The puzzle encounter in Dread Fortress is particularly good.
Okay.
Or Dread Palace. Dread Palace, yeah. No, there's a particular encounter in Dread Palace where you have to split your group. Some go into the past, some go into the future. You have to work together. It's all awesome. So definitely worth getting in there if you can.
Well, I mean, I know Simon and I have talked about joining the Utini Guild. We should sort of use this as a place mark. You said you did five runs through each and have cleared the majority, because if we do join and start running operations, I expect that ratio to drop. I'm not speaking for you, Simon, but mostly for
myself. No, I know. You are. Trust me.
Well, we do have a regular raid group that runs on Aussie evenings, so on later in the week, I believe.
Oh, I need to do it. I need to get off my butt. So, excellent. And the last bit I had was PvP ranking delayed until mid-November, which is the 12th, obviously.
Yep. Yeah. They'd only just announced that it would begin in Game Update 2.4.2, which is coming on Tuesday. And then they, a couple of days later, said, yeah, not so much. So delayed for 2 weeks. We don't actually know whether they're also delaying the web-based leaderboards, which they said were being introduced with Season 1. So they may just throw them in anyway and just put up the pre-season rankings. Or they may delay that as well.
I hope they put it up early and just show the pre-seasons, because at least that'll just start building a little bit of excitement, a bit of momentum.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just going to feel like a complete fail.
There is an interpretation that, a lot of people are having trouble getting into solo ranked. The queues just seem to be popping a lot less. I haven't been trying myself that much since I did a whole bunch. And, I was waiting an hour or two for a pop on a healer. It seems that the quickest pops were on DPS, because it just tries to match groups, doesn't try to match a particular configuration. So if mostly DPS are queuing, it's going to be DPS versus DPS for the most of the time.
Mm. Well, that doesn't sound terribly exciting.
No.
Well, no, yeah. Just thinking if I was, how disappointed people would be if I was one of the three DPS. At least if I've got a healer in the group, they might try and keep me up a bit longer.
They're good fun, though. Very exciting, very intense, the arenas.
Yeah, I can. But they're rare, aren't they? Because you don't know when you're going to get an arena.
Well, if you're doing ranked, it will always be an arena.
It will always. Yeah. Okay, it's just the unranked where it's a bit more random.
And they barely turn up. I've been doing a lot of PvP of late, and it should be roughly 1 in 6. But it's much, much rarer than that.
Okay. And Chris, I know, Chrissy, you don't, as far as I know, you don't PvP, but have you been playing any Star Wars The Old Republic the last fortnight?
Little. Yeah, unfortunately, Hoff has defeated me. It's get my way through that snow layer, especially now I've got my taunt on. So, yeah, she's sitting on 42 at the moment, unfortunately. Or he, apologies.
So you and I have a bit of a race to 55 there. So we've sort of similar leveling level.
Oh, Oh, in that case, it's on.
Well, you're ahead, and I'd say you'll beat me, but yeah, I'm 40 and a half. Simon, you got anyone around that at the moment? And don't around, say your main.
No, around 40.
Yes,
I do. What? That's my bounty hunter. Would be around there.
Yeah, I'm loving the Trooper storyline, and I can see why Ed raved about it all that time. I just find it so much better than the Consular storyline. But that could be just me.
Yeah, well, the Bounty Hunter storyline's kind of left me a bit cold. I've got a bit bored with it. So for some reason, I seem to be trying to level up two sorcerers at the same time.
That sounds like you, though.
Yeah, that's true, unfortunately.
I'm going to ask you another dumb question. For how do you get your companion's affection up to decent levels when you're playing Dark Side? So I obviously understand, like, for example, as a trooper that Tano Vic's more Dark Side aligned, so it's not that hard to get affection, but I alienate essentially every other person on my companion team every time I choose... Sorry, not the Dark Side option, but choose the more negative options.
Gifts, companion gifts, how you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just lots and lots of gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just like regular people. You give them shit. Or failing that, I find if you can be a little bit organized in what you're doing, dismissing the companion before you go into any conversations where you think it might be a bit wobbly, but half the time I can't tell what my companions are going to approve of or not.
No, it can be very random, you're right. But, yeah, no, I thought that was the case. I was just hoping for some magic fix. Should have realised.
No. And just buy cartel packs and give them the gifts.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm on I do scavenging and underworld trading, so I get the odd gift pretty regularly anyway. Double XP weekend starting November the 27th and continuing through the Thanksgiving weekend until the 2nd of December. So I've got to admit, I'm a bit excited about that. And Christy, you and I, with our race to 55, that might help big time.
I'm kind of be 55 then. But my little commando who's waiting in the stream would probably be very, very happy about it. Yeah. And if I'm not 55 by then, then yes. If I'm not fit by the December 2nd, I think I might just have to quit everything, just quit gaming altogether.
Yeah, true, it is a month away. It's a good point. I assume both of you guys also take advantage of those with your alts.
I need to get another PvP tune ready once my Smash Monkey actually gets out of the low B bracket, so I need a new one for the low B. Probably a sniper, and the double XP weekends are perfect for that. Just quickly get him up to a level where he can be reasonably competitive in PvP.
Yeah. And I just need to allocate some time to get some of my rested XP out of the way before that weekend starts, because last time they had the double XP weekend, I didn't get any benefit.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
Yeah.
You know, the rested XP is just suspended for the duration.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So you get it back at the end. Oh, I never noticed that.
Yeah, they just kind of freeze it and then starts up again.
Oh. Okay. That was a really bad tip.
Jason on the show.
What was that? Sorry, Christy?
I said I love having Jason on the show.
Yeah, well, I said he was going to lend credibility and he's delivering in spades. All right, so let's move on to the last final bit. There's a nice, is it a tautology? A bit of Star Wars, and that is the universally acclaimed segment, My Lore is Stuck in Your Canon.
Thank you, Master David. It's wonderful to see you are still with us and not decomposing. I do so hate cleaning. Today, we shall discuss the Sith Empire, at least the first two of them. Well, not so much discuss, because your opinion really isn't of any interest to me. Now, in the vicinity of 100,000 BBY, a red-skinned race of people we now call the Sith had evolved and flourished on the planet Korriban. Their world was drenched in the dark side of the Force, and while they existed in a constant state of war, it has been observed that their existence was strangely harmonious. Before their societies reached an industrial level of technology, approximately 30,000 BBY, a killer colony was established on Korriban, but the Sith united temporarily against this infestation and successfully drove off this new common foe. However, it was not until 28,000 BBY that such unity would occur again, when a remarkable charcoal-skinned Sith called Adas, known as the Sithari, forced all his world's nations to come under his banner. The first Sith Empire was born. Several hundred years later, Korriban was visited by far friendly off-world visitors. The Rakata and their infinite empire were very interested in the Force-sensitive Sith and appeared happy to share their advanced technology. Now 300 years old, King Adas took great interest in this new knowledge, learning how to build and harness the technology of holocrons. However, these benign visitors eventually began to show their true colours, and Adas quickly realised that this was another invasion. Marshalling his people, despite their relatively primitive technology, the Force-sensitive Sith easily came to terms with Rakatan Force-controlled machines. Seizing a large number of Rakata ships, they drove the aliens off Korriban. Unfortunately, Adas lost his life in an act of betrayal, and without his steadying hand, Korriban again collapsed into civil war, with many zealots claiming the title of Sithari for themselves. As a result of the constant war, most cities were destroyed, forcing the surviving Sith to relocate to other worlds using the Rakatan ships. Among those were Malachor V, Tund, Abra, and Zeost, which became the new capital world. Korriban was left as a battleground, populated with a scattering of fanatics. In 6900 BBY, in the far-distant Galactic Republic, the final battle of the Hundred-Year Darkness, a war between the Jedi Order and a dissident faction that had embraced the Dark Side teachings, ended after the orbital bombardment of the mining world Korbos by the Republic. Of all the fallen Jedi, only 12 survived. And rather than execute them, the Order decided on exile instead, so the Dark Jedi might meditate and come to understand the true scope of their wrongdoing. The fallen Jedi were stripped of their weapons and armor, then loaded onto several unarmed transports, which were then set to make a blind jump well beyond the edge of the slice and into the uncharted regions. It never occurred to the Jedi the exiles might have a plan. One of their number, Sorzos Sin, had spent years collecting stories and rumours about a legendary and distant kingdom strong in the dark side. Eventually they found the lost world they sought, and you will not be surprised to learn that planet was Korriban. Despite their innate strength in the dark side, the remaining Korriban Sith were not as skilled or as strong as the fallen Jedi. The new arrivals, among them Ajanta Pul and Karnes-Mur, easily awed the masses with displays of power. An alliance with the Sith King's second-in-command, or Shadow Hand, allowed the Dark Jedi to seize power and then declare themselves the Lords of the Sith. Even with their new power, some of the exiles were not content with simply ruling the Sith. A disastrous attempt to attack the Jedi Order was planned using one of the ships they arrived in. A small group successfully found their way back, hacking into the Navi computer. Obviously, they were defeated. However, the Jedi only now knew that the exiles still existed, but had no idea where Sith space might be. Meanwhile, the more measured remained on Korriban, and using Sith alchemy, blended their DNA with that of pure-blooded Sith, and thereby preserved their affinity and potency through bloodlines, and created a new ruling class. Zeost was made the capital of this new empire, and Korriban became a sacred world, destined to become a home to great tombs and even greater secrets. Over the next 2,000 years, the Sith became rich and powerful, fueled by a potent blend of sorcery and the dark side. At its peak, it ruled over 120 worlds. Meanwhile, the Republic had forgotten about this long-lost group, and the Sith themselves were similarly ignorant. It was during the so-called Golden Age of the Empire that saw one of the greatest Sith, Marco Ragnos, take the throne. Despite their wealth, many basic resources were in short supply and contested. Ragnos suppressed the constant pressure from factions that sought to expand Sith territories beyond the confines of the Stygian Caldera, a hyperspecial breakwater that surrounded Sith space. He remembered his family's stories of how the Jedi defeated his ancestors. However, after nearly a century of ruling as emperor and successfully pitting his rivals against each other, he died of natural causes in 5000 BBY. Of the two potential successors to the throne, Naga Sadao and Ludo Kresh, it was Sadao who would be spurred on to victory by the freak arrival of a Republic starship during Ragnos' funeral. The occupants, Jori and Gav Daragon, had been trying to map new hyperspace routes for profit, and you won't be surprised to know they were arrested as spies. While some saw it as an omen of potential invasion, Sadao saw it as a sign for expansion, and after consolidating his power and defeating Kresh, he convinced Jori to abandon her brother and flee back to the Republic and warn them of the Sith threat. It apparently didn't occur to her that she was leading Imperial forces into the heart of Republic space. And so began the Great Hyperspace War. Despite inferior numbers and a general lack of intelligence, the Sith forces penetrated deeply, getting as far as Coruscant and the steps of the Senate itself. Aided by Sadao's sorcery, whereby he could make Sith forces appear greater than they were, the Republic and Jedi were always off balance. However, once the Jedi realized the deception, the Republic forces were emboldened, ultimately pushing the Sith to a rout. Greatly weakened, Sadao's remaining forces fled back to Sith space, and were immediately set upon by a vengeful Kresh and his allies over Korriban. During this battle, the Republic fleet arrived and decimated what remained of the warring Sith fleets. Sadao escaped, but the second Sith Empire would not be so fortunate. With Sadao and Kresh gone, and the Republic forces moving deeper into Sith space, the acting Dark Lord Jarda Khan ordered suicide attacks against Republic fleets. The resultant heavy losses led to a temporary retreat, but the Republic was ultimately victorious. Republic forces were ordered to every Sith world to make sure that nothing of the Empire remained. The few Sith who survived fled into exile. Their ragtag fleet, led by their new Emperor, roamed for 20 years before rediscovering a lost remote colony of the First Sith Empire in 4980 BBY. That planet was Dromund Kaas, and there they settled and slowly grew in strength, all the while dreaming of revenge. And if you're wondering what happened to Naga Sadao, you might be interested to know that he fled to a moon of the gas giant Yavin 4, where his loyal Masasi created temples for him. He was finally buried on Korriban, and his elaborate tomb encompassed an ancient star map, the only remaining artifact left from the Infinite Empire's failed attempt at conquest. Now, back to Master David. Please feel free to turn off the podcast now. I doubt you'll be missing much.
Thank you.
Now I just feel like you have a robot tied up in your closet somewhere and you just like feed me stuff every fortnight.
No, trust me, if it was the case, I'd be tied up in the robot's closet.
Yeah, that's probably true too. Well, anyway, thank you, ODS1. I think I might leave all that in because that was quite a good conversation. So I hope you enjoyed looking behind the curtain again, folks. So let's move on to talking about some other things. Guild Wars 2. So, Christy, I know you've got quite a list of stuff there in 3,000 words or less. And I know there's a Halloween event too, isn't there? Yeah. Coming up.
Yeah, sorry.
But yeah, sorry, jump in, Christy. You're on top of Guild Wars 2 at the moment.
No, I'm a deer in headlights. So I'm like...
So yeah, look, while we're looking behind the curtain, basically poor Christy just spent 5 minutes giving a beautiful overview of what's been going on, but we had enormous dropouts and we've lost a lot. So I've just said to Christy, can you do an abridged version? Thanks, Christy.
Now I'm really embarrassed.
No, yeah. Don't you? No, you don't, no need to be embarrassed. It's bloody Skype.
All right, I got level 80. She's an exotics with awesome armor. She looks really, really cool. Very happy. Season 1 of World We Vote has started. The next living event is Tower of Nightmare, also starting. Coming with a new skill, AoE Cleanse, and a pretty shard for your home instance if you finish all the achievements.
That was amazing.
Wow, that was impressive. Yeah.
Impressive.
Now, tell me, what's the shard?
It is much just something that looks pretty.
Okay.
So in each of your cities, depending on what race you are, you have a home instance, and that is, well, exactly that. It's an instance that's just yours. So this shard will appear there so you can look at it and people visiting your shard can look at it, but that's about it.
Okay.
Christy, what's your perceived, what's the perception of the popularity of Guild Wars 2? Is it still the same as ever? Has it dropped off over time, or how does it feel?
I would say very, very. You'll be moving to overflow areas. The mid-level, though, is unfortunately, because some of them have vents going on, but just you can't do them.
Wow. So, Chris, you're doing a bridge one again because you just dropped out horrifically again.
Oh my God.
It's popular.
It's popular. Areas.
Damn. I heard overflow, which is all I needed to hear.
Yeah, overflow.
Yes, overflow success.
Yeah, and any nurses out there, please email us if you know the other more fun reason for overflow, and I'm not even going to go into it. All right.
Ew.
Yeah.
It's actually worse than you think. All right. Oh. thank you, Chrissy, and I apologize on behalf of Microsoft and Skype. Secret World. So as I mentioned at the intro, there's been a little bit going on there. The main things are that, a bit like Guild Wars 2, Secret World has its annual Halloween event. But what I love about Secret World is that they usually try and very much mix it up. So it's pretty much, I believe, new content for Halloween. It's a bit of a return of the Cat God. It starts, I think, like last year in King's Mouth with Madame Roget. I was in there today, had a horrific time. I haven't played for a couple of weeks and it just kept constantly crashing on me. And I don't know whether it was my computer or the update that I downloaded, but sort of got rid of some other quests and was just on my way to King's Mouth. So I'll be checking out that content. So if you haven't been in for a while, there's some new story there to dip into. And most, I know one thing they were excited about is that they've been front and center of a new movie called IRL, and it released on the 25th of October. And I'll put a link in the show notes to the trailer. It doesn't look too shabby either. And you can see from the trailer just how central the Secret World is to the story. And it's basically about, looks like late teen couple, boy and girl, they either meet in real life and continue things in the secret world or vice versa. Christy, go.
The plot is young boy is from the world MMO meets younger chat.
Do your bridge version. Yeah, do your bridge version. Yeah, three words. Boy meets girl.
Boy escapes secret world, boy meets girl, boy talks to girl, boy girl meet up in real life. Very, very, very traditional, done it a billion times before.
Yeah, so it's meeting in game and meeting in real life afterwards, of course, which I should have realised by the title. So, yeah, but it's good for the guys at Funcom that they've got something front and centre, and it shows you the quality of the game, I suppose, that it's been, you know, it may be no Call of Duty, Gale, but it still looks good in the movie. And it just shows you there's a bit of momentum there. So, yeah. That's the main things. And obviously the 1.8 update has gone live as well, unless I'm demented. I'm sure it has. The patch notes are up anyway. No one else has played Secret World in the last fortnight?
No. I've spent most of my time in the Star Wars Extended Universe.
Oh, Extended Universe.
Mm.
How cheap is it these days? What did the price drop to?
Secret World, it's now free to play from the viewpoint that you just buy the client and that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Because there's not. Oh, now I'm testing my knowledge. I don't think there's an ongoing subscription anymore, is there? I know, Simon, you got the lifetime like I did, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually one of the ones I'm actually pleased about.
Yeah, it's not Marvel Heroes.
It's not Marvel Heroes.
This is worth the expense.
$30 on Steam.
Yeah.
There you go. I've got to quickly jump to Marvel Heroes. I got a breathless email from them during the week about the servers going down, I think it was, and a great new patch that would include the brilliant new character of, now don't quote me on this, was it Squirrel Girl?
Oh, my God.
I'm serious. It was something girl, and I'm sure the animal was squirrel. Squirrel Girl, which as a rabid Marvel fan, but I'm not like anything that great at the lore, but I'd never heard of Squirrel Girl before, but they were so excited about her.
For the low, low price of what, $20 or something?
Yeah, well, in some of my case, $300 or $200 or whatever it was.
Two.
I've got to mention it. It's like Gale. I've got to mention it every episode.
If it doesn't have some form of starfighter that's slightly galactic, I don't give rat's ass anymore.
That's right. Well, I tell you what, I haven't gone back to Marvel Heroes because A, it's boring as shit, and B, I can just imagine what the client, like the patch downloads like now.
Yeah.
It just put me off. Christy Rift. Can you do that in an abridged version?
Oh,
because a squirrel girl reminded me. Squirrels. Yeah, squirrel yes. girl reminded me.
So Rift. They're doing some fun stuff in Defiance, but the biggest thing, of course, is squirrel
mount. Squirrel mount. So
Rift, obviously not in Defiance.
So, Christy, the word mount dropped out when you said that. So, yeah, squirrel mounts in Rift.
You could put it anything.
You sound a bit like a droid, Christy.
Exterminate.
Yeah, well, it's a bit like that too. So, sorry about that. I just remembered Rift.
Did they have a shard unification or a server merger?
In three words, Christy? Yeah, or one, yes or no?
Yes. A while back, yes.
Maybe we should try this for future podcasts. We'll get through all the bits in about 45 seconds.
Fastest podcast ever.
Oh, dear. Walking Dead Season 4. So we usually mention something TV-related on most episodes. So we're now two episodes in, or three by the time you're listening to this, of Walking Dead Season 4. Who put your hand up verbally in amongst the co-hosts and Jason if you watch Walking Dead?
No.
Oh, dead silence.
No.
And I was kind of disappointed in the show.
Okay, so I think from that, from the droid talk, I think that was I read the comics but disappointed in the show.
Yes.
Yes. Beautiful.
5 points, Gryffindor.
All right, well, I'll just say that, look, Season 4 started with a bang. It's, you know, there's nothing particularly new and exciting about it, but it's still plenty of tension in there. And probably, if it's possible, slightly more gore. The zombies are obviously deteriorating over time, and they've got some pretty horrific scenes in there as far as gore, but there's a lot more to it than that. So, yeah, if you haven't already, jump in and check that out. And any other TV recommendations, folks? Christy, it has to be one word.
Shield.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Yes.
That would be my vote too.
Okay.
The Tomorrow People, the new series.
Is it back?
The Yanks have actually done their own version of it. And even though that's usually a bad thing, it's actually surprisingly good. A couple of episodes in.
So was it the 1960s or 70s? It was an old show.
Early 70s,
yeah.
Yeah, I actually dug them out and was just been watching them again. They're absolutely terrible.
I don't think I ever saw them. But I just know that, yeah, okay.
The theme music was good, though.
Yeah, I loved them as a kid, but yeah, watching them now, wow. But yeah. The new version, it's all very modern. But yeah, it's actually surprisingly compelling, much more than I thought it would be.
You can't go back. I tried that because the ABC has been doing some repeats of some of the old Doctor Who's. So I've watched a couple of William Hartnell's and a couple of Patrick Crowns. I always remember John Pertwee.
Yeah.
But I tried watching one of those shows and holy freaking Christ. You see better efforts on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's horrific. It is. I mean, the old black and white ones, oddly, are better. They're quite superior as far as the camera work and the cutting and the set. It's, oh dear. I words.
Better keep away from the Tom Baker episodes, which were he was my favourite Doctor. So.
Well, same.
Actually, the Tom Baker ones aren't too bad.
Really?
There's just something about what they were doing in at least part of Pertwee's tenure, where they weren't building sets, they're actually going to real locations. but they didn't bother putting any sort of baffling in there. So you've got horrendous echoes, really bad cutaways because they were obviously only using a one camera setup. I was just looking at it going, could you not even match anything? Does everything have to have a bloody echo? What? Why? What? Use a boom mic. Not some sound guy stuck with a dead cat in the far corner. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, thank you, Simon. There's the episode name yet again.
Oh, okay.
No, that's good. But Tom Baker episodes I struggled with even when they originally came out as far as some of the effects. And I think, but to the Tom Baker era's credit, they did a lot more off-world stuff. What shits me about the last, four series is just how Earth-centric it is.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. I mean, the John Pertwee ones at least had an excuse because he was exiled there. The TARDIS literally couldn't leave Earth. So, okay, fine. But, yeah, you're right. That, and I'm just going to be glad to see the end of Floppy Head Dickhead.
Oh, no, wait, what did you say? Floppy Head Dickhead.
Yeah, I think that's his name, isn't it? Floppy Head Dickhead? Oh, something like that.
Well, that's the name of this episode.
I think he also goes by Smith as well. In more uninformed, casual settings.
And see, funnily enough, we could actually heard all that. That was good.
Mm.
I closed everything, including Dropbox, down.
Okay. That must have been it. Don't jinx yourself yet.
Actually, just while we're on a rant, can we just swing us back to SWOTOR briefly? Just briefly. I know I tend to do this a lot, but this is the last time, I promise. ships. Your ships and personalizing your ships and how you can't because it's too difficult because there's quest. It's basically a quest hub and you've got crap all over the place. Most of that, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I quite probably am, most of that is to do with the class story and the leveling process. Yes?
Yeah, that's my understanding.
So since each of the ships is instanced anyway, why at 55 or 50 even, when all of that bullshit is out of the way, can't you get a, same ship, interior, but divested of all of that nonsense so you can actually have a quest version for leveling and then end game you've got a version that you can personalize. Why couldn't they do that? Any thoughts?
Companion conversations. It's a lot of them are in the ship and you can do all that at 55, which are 450 or whatever.
Yeah, true.
Oh, they're not worth it.
Well, they're not by the time you get 55 from an experience viewpoint, you're right. But
I can talk to them in a bar.
You can buy over a drink, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Talk to your companions in the bar and you can hang bantha heads on your wall.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a trade-off I'd take.
No, I agree. I mean, ships, the shell ship and continuity and suspension disbelief thing in SWOTOR shits me to tears. Just the whole, the amount of ridiculous running around you do to get between planets. The fact that I think you can, under Legacy, once you get to a certain level, you can port back to your own ship then,
yes,
can't you? But yeah, you've got to be, what, level 16 or 17 or whatever it is. But I think they should introduce that through the game. And the other thing that always, from a suspension of disbelief, that always does my head in is that I've, left my ship on Hoth and then I've used the go to the fleet and then I run down the stairs and jump in my ship on the Imperial fleet. So how did it get there?
Your companions flew it back, maybe?
Well, that's about the only argument you can make. There's just stuff like that. It's just not well done.
Hang on. You instantaneously travel from one place to another.
Yeah, I thought that's true.
And
your problem
is that your ship's there as well.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah. Very valid.
I thought so.
Yeah. But yeah, you know what I mean though.
Yeah. Well, it's the invisible shuttle and the fact that you temporarily lose all vision.
And yeah, the medical probes, and I know it's all, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Now, they are saying with Galactic Starfighter, that customization of your fighters will be a big part of it, whatever that will mean. So there's that.
If I can't have flames down the side of the of the damn thing, then that's not customization.
Or being able to put, you know, marks for each kill, like they did in the World War II, just dashes.
Right.
That'd be cool.
My will be covered in dashes.
Yeah. You'd also be the, we'll know yours because it'll have the Hello Kitty theme.
It will be pink, totally. It'll be driven by this big cap, it'll be pink.
What I find really funny, again, we'll do our third and final behind the curtains, is that when we do the running sheet, through no organisation whatsoever, that when Christy adds her bits to the running sheet, or did you set it up that way, Christy, to be pink?
Yeah, I set it up to be pink.
Okay. I just think, because I thought that was just bizarre how your bits are all in pink. And we're not going to talk about bits and pink. I just realised that was really badly worded.
Yeah.
Sorry, that wasn't intentional. So anything else, guys, before we do wrap up?
I'm just going to say that if anyone wanted to hear us discussing the differences between Cleanse and Purge, wrong damn podcast, sorry.
Jason?
Weren't you going to talk about WoW?
Oh, see, this is where running sheets are bloody useless if you don't follow them.
Yeah, you got to scroll down, mate, scroll down.
Yeah, oh, I've heard that works. All right. So, yeah, Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft. So if you're a World of Warcraft player, probably well and truly heard of it. If you haven't, it's an online TCG. Yeah, that's right. Trading card game. I just happened to check out the trailer and the Blizzard's website for it because it's in beta. You can sign up for beta now. I must admit, it looks bloody appealing. I think I'll be buying it. The only disappointing thing is it looks like there's no mobile support, whether Android or iOS. They're saying iPad at some time in the future, but it's still going to be a fully computer-based game, which is highly disappointing.
Is it free to play and you just buy the cards?
Oh, you know what?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. I didn't read the whole FAQ, so it's as per usual.
Well, that's a very long time ago, so I'm assuming it's still that.
Yeah, that would make sense.
It's like the 50 billion magic ones out there at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, there's not. I tell you now, there's absolutely nothing unique about it. It's it just it reeks of every other trading card game. But I just like the fact I like WoW, and it's all the characters you know, and they sell it pretty well in the trailer that they've done for it. So I think it'll be worth a go. But if it, that said, I was assuming it'd be on, you know, your smartphone. That's what would have totally sold me on it. Whereas now that it's computer-based, if I'm going to log in, I'll play WoW, not that.
Yeah, from all reports, it's extremely well executed. So
it looks great.
Yeah. Highly addictive, one would say.
Okay.
And there's some sort of benefits if you're actually subbed. You can get stuff using in-game currency or something.
Okay.
I thought I heard.
And there were three, I know they went through the three modes, which totally escaped me at the moment, but it looks like there was enough variety into it to keep you interested. But I don't know, I'm just gobsmacked a company the size of Blizzard didn't go to launch on tablets. I understand the challenges with it, but, you know, if anyone should have been able to pull it off, it should have been them. All right.
I want to scan my physical trading card into the game because I have way too many of them.
Yeah, well, that would be good. I won't be surprised if they do that down the track. But, and for those that didn't pick that up, was scan cards game.
I have too much money.
I want to see them implement it for the Xbox One because that sounds like a winning use of the Kinect to me.
Yeah. Well, there's got to be. Yeah, oh, I could see that. Oh, you've been facetious.
What do you think?
Yeah, well, did I need to ask that? anything else from anyone else before we move on?
I'm going to be in the Destiny beta, so suck it, bitches.
I hate you.
I know.
Which one is Destiny?
It's Bungie's new game.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Right.
So is that coming out on PC as well as
No.
Just Xbox? No, it's not.
Console.
PlayStation.
Yeah, consoles. But not the Wii. But that's not really a console.
No, we won't go
That's like a DVD player that doesn't play DVDs and a tablet that's a piece of crap.
So super dumb question. Why do you have betas for consoles? I suppose you've got to the complexity that and people are keen enough you can.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same reason you have betas for PC games, which you then release too early and then spend the next year and a half saying sorry for.
Yeah. I just would have thought
consoles are better.
Yeah, I would have thought console gamers would be less forgiving of that shit, but probably, I don't know, we all suck it up more nowadays.
Can you tell us anything about... Sorry, Christy.
If you can hear me, considering that consoles are, like, if you're playing on a console, you're playing on the same machine no matter where you are versus PC. See where with as different configuration as can be.
Yeah.
So what you play in your studio should be the same as what people play at home.
Well, you would think so.
True.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is that, but I mean, there's also infrastructure you need to test and server loading and all the rest of that.
Oh kind yeah,
of
absolutely.
Stuff. And just the multiplayer aspects of it, rather than necessarily the. Also, I think it's worth just seeing how people relate to the mechanics that you're implementing, whether they need to change.
Hmm. I mean, I remember watching the Destiny. There was a trailer a few months back. It looks great, and it was one of the reasons I thought of getting an Xbox. I'm still torn when they're released in a month's time. I don't know which one, and I can't afford both.
Well, don't get either.
Well, I think that's actually what I'll do initially because I haven't got time to play either, so we might just wait and see.
Yeah.
I almost pre-ordered a PS4. But then I brought Pokemon Y instead.
Pokemon.
Gotta catch them all.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there.
BlizzCon?
Damn you and your insistence on discipline and the running sheet. Yeah, BlizzCon's coming up. No, BlizzCon's coming up. I have no bloody idea when, but I know it's soon. The virtual tickets have been release. So if you want to buy a virtual ticket and see a lot of the video streams, they're $39.95 US. I've always thought I'd do that, but who's seriously going to take a couple of days off work just to sit there and watch video streams for one game or a couple of games?
And I'll never do it again.
See, that's what I mean. I can see why you do it once and then go, shit, what was I thinking?
I'm mainly watching dice because I wanted a pink Murloc and that had commonly urgent dice.
Pink Murloc's beautiful.
I have two. I think we've been through this.
And because I don't think I can put the word dickhead in the podcast title, I think the pink Murloc episode will actually be the title of this episode.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I get I'm not, one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's any better, but.
No, well, that's the whole point. They're meant to be really bad titles. Well, I have this dream that people look at the titles and go, gee, it's fascinating to know how they came up with that title, but no one ever says that. Let's go. Shout outs, says David Redding from The Running Sheet. So thanks, everyone, and particularly I want to start off with you, Jason. It's always a bloody pleasure to have you, and it's been, as usual, all over the place, but not because of you. We look forward to running the first operations with the Guild.
It'll be a good time. It'll be great.
Well, it won't be a disciplined time, so it better be a good time.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, mate. Absolutely. Simon, thank you, sir.
Thank you. And by the way, just do a quick shout out to the Escape Pod podcast, because they was catching up and re-listening and they said some nice things about us. So I would also like to say some nice things about them and their numerous droids.
Yes.
It's a great show.
It is a great
it
show.
It is.
I've even listened to one, which is amazing for me. And I know they'll probably be annoyed as all hell because I think in one of my articles mentioned they're one of two Escape Pod podcasts that I'm aware of, and there's another brilliant Escape Pod podcast that is a weekly science fiction story. It's an American-based podcast, and they've been around for years. And if you want top-notch science fiction read to you every week for about half an hour, it's gold. So jump in and check that out. But also the Escape Pod SWTOR podcast first. Where were we? Oh, Simon. So goodbye, Simon. And also thank you to your colleague, Odious One, for the brilliant work he does.
I can't stop him.
No, I know. And that's the way we like it. Christy, thank you for your droid-like interpretations tonight.
Thank you.
And I've just got to remember to go and cut out the huge chunk of the podcast where it was unintelligible. Otherwise,
no. Yeah. Well, the normal get all of me then.
I think most of the podcast is intelligible.
Yeah, that's
it'll just
also
be Jason
like
talking
it.
To him for half an hour.
Now, that could be funny. So, yeah, thanks, everyone. As always, says David, scrolling down the running sheet, if you'd like to offer an opinion, suggestion, or some general abuse, we particularly like the general abuse, feel free to contact us at contact@oceanicgamer.com. Facebook page hasn't changed. It's The Oceanic Gamer. My Twitter handle is The Oceanic Gamer. Christie's is Evil Flaming Cat, and Simon tweets as usual under RPG Beats RL. And Jason, from memory, if I assume you're happy for me to say this, otherwise I'll cut it out. You're at Jason Etheridge, isn't it?
Yes, so, yeah. Yes, it is. And I also tweet under at @UtiniCast.
Oh, of course, yeah. Does Christy have a Twitch channel or something where she streams? Yes.
That's Twitch.tv. Still in original running thing.
Yeah, I know. Twitch.tv/evilflamingcat. That's still valid, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yes, that's right.
I at least week. Wait a month.
This week, yes. Right. And you, as always, you'll find previous episodes of the show on iTunes. We're also now on Stitcher. I haven't heard of a single person that actually uses it yet, but it's meant to be a great service. So thanks very much for listening. And remember, if your pug wipes, it's probably one of us was in it. And don't forget that, Jason. See you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
See ya.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.